Hi, Brandy. Welcome to Love Hills Cancer and Zenonco.io. I'm Justina from Zenonco.io. This is our Cancer Healing Journey Talk, where we invite speakers who have gone through cancer, maybe as a patient, caregiver, or survivor. These CHAs are very close to our heart because many people tell us that when they listen to others' journey, it inspires them. It helps them to boost confidence and give them hope that if others can beat this disease successfully, why can't they? So thank you so much for joining today's CHA talk. So could you please introduce yourself and tell us how it all began?
Yes, so my name is Brandy Benson. I am from the United States. I am a Ewing sarcoma cancer survivor. It's a very rare and aggressive cancer. So when I was deployed in 2008, I was in Iraq at the time. I discovered a lump on my leg. I really didn't know what it was. And I wasn't very cancer literate. So I didn't know that you could get cancer anywhere in the body besides brain cancer, lung cancer, stomach cancer, you know, all the breast cancers, like all the cancers that you see on TV. So the lump that I saw on my leg, I didn't think it was anything detrimental to my health because I never heard of cancer anywhere else. So I went and got it checked out. Everybody was very concerned about it. And, you know, because I was just naive about everything, I didn't know the extent of what was going to be happening or that there was something going on inside of me. So I got it checked out and it ended up being Ewing sarcoma cancer again, which is a very rare and aggressive cancer. So I always say that it's really interesting that I went to Iraq to fight a war, but then to leave war early to fight an enemy inside of myself, essentially cancer, a war within myself. So I left and went to Walter Reed Medical Center in 2009. And then that's where I started my journey with cancer and my treatments and the importance of having a support system and resiliency. And kind of that's where life totally changed because I never saw a future with cancer. And when you have cancer, a lot of people think that that's it, that you're not going to survive and that life is not going to be great anymore, or the value of life is going to be diminished greatly because now you have this kind of this threatening disease looming over you for the rest of your life. But that is not the case. And so I've built this platform around just positivity, body positivity, the importance of resiliency, how to find the advantages and the disadvantages and the disadvantages that you do have while going through something traumatic such as cancer. So I've just really had an amazing time and it's been a really great journey. And I know cancer is hard and it's kind of interesting to say this, but I do believe cancer kind of like saved me in a way because it really shook me to the core and woke me up and really made me value life and see things differently. And it really just motivated me to do so much better in life. And because of cancer, I've opened up businesses. I've modeled for really amazing companies. I've, you know, explored so many different places, you know, on this globe. I've talked to amazing companies such as yourself and just sharing my story. I've written a book. I've, you know, I've opened up my own business. I've done so much because cancer's the fuel now for me, or because I had cancer fueling me now, because you never know when something like that's going to happen again. So it's just really propelled me into greatness, into doing better and really sharing my story and being there for others.
That's so great that, you know, it was all happened very suddenly and still you have built a beautiful castle for yourself, like a, you know, a power where you are just fighting against all the myths and the stereotypes and you're just, you know, empowering the underprivileged ones. So I just want to ask you, like, as you mentioned that it was very unexpected from our side. So what was your initial reaction and your family members' reaction when you shared this news?
My initial reaction was that I was going to die because that's what we see on TV. It's really hard to be happy and have cancer. I mean, it's not a very easy disease to have and to go through and to know that this is what your future is going to be looking like. You have to go through treatment, you have to go through chemotherapy or radiation or surgery, whatever it is. And then you might not make it out of that state. So of course, that's really discouraging. It's scary. It's intimidating, all of those things. And I was kind of just essentially preparing myself for death because the doctors thought I was going to die. They gave me a year to live. And they said, if I make it past 1 year, then I wouldn't make it past 5 years. So I was kind of, you know, throwing the towel in and saying that this is my fate. And this was what's going to be happening. But I had my mother there with me the entire time. So she lived in Texas at the time, and she ended up packing up all her belongings, all of her, you know, essential things that she needed. And she moved into the hospital with me at Walter Reed Medical Center, and also brought my nephew along, who was 2 years old at the time. So having her there and just having her support and her believing in me, and even though the doctor said I wouldn't make it, I had her kind of on the opposite end telling me that anything's possible. There's miracles every single day. Why can't you be one of those miracles? And I remember when she told me that, I was like, you know, she's right. You know, I still have time. I can still beat this, even though it looks very dreary. You know, it's very discouraging. I can make it because my mom believes in me. So I had a support system there that was so strong, so sturdy, and just believed in, you know, the outlandish things, because the doctors didn't believe in that. But because I was able to shift my focus onto something more positive and optimistic, which was life, I'm here today. And I honestly think that the reason why I am here is because of her, because there was so many individuals that were on that ward. Every single person on that ward that was from deployment, like I was, they all ended up dying. Every single person died. So I watched all of my friends pass away. Everyone I confided my worries or, you know, concerns to, they all died. But the only thing is, they didn't have a support system. They didn't have somebody there taking care of them. They didn't have someone there to kind of, you know, to change their direction of their thoughts and what they're thinking and what's happening to them. But I did. So I believe, and I know wholeheartedly, that the reason why I'm here today is because I had a support system that was there for me, literally from the day I walked in the hospital to the day I walked out.
That's so great that you're a very strong soul. Yeah, the ones who lost the battle, they were also very, very strong till the end. They battled very strongly. But yeah, more power to you. Are still like inspiring the people who are, you know, fighting against cancer. So it means a lot. So did you have any family history from your side of cancer?
No family history at all. It just came out of nowhere. So what we're thinking is that, or as I'm doing this research and learning about cancer, they say about like 85% of cancer is lifestyle and what you're exposed to. So I was in Iraq. It was poor air quality. The water was really bad. I'm under a lot of stress. I'm, you know, walking past bullets and bombs and stuff. So I believe that I got sick because of the elements and the stress that I was exposed to while being in Iraq. Your immune system is suppressed when you're stressed out, you know, all of these things. So it was like the perfect breeding fest for a terrible disease such as cancer. So I don't believe that I would have gotten cancer had I not been deployed in Iraq and been exposed to all of those elements. But no, cancer does not run in my family. Ewing sarcoma is not something that was ever spoken of. I didn't even know what that cancer was until I had it.
Yeah. So what were the treatments? Could you please specify what all treatment did you underwent during that?
Yeah. So the treatments that I had was a surgery. So I had a massive surgery. I had my entire adductor muscle removed. I did 101 chemotherapy rounds in 10 months, which is honestly unheard of. It was a very, very aggressive treatment regimen. And then I did a lot of physical therapy. So those were the two or the three main things that I did. I didn't have to do radiation, thank goodness, because I hear that's, you know, it's even harder. So just surgery, chemotherapy, and lots of physical therapy. And then I had to do lots of mental health therapy as well. So seeing psychiatrists and making sure I'm getting all of those needs met, because not only am I physically going through this traumatic experience, but mentally I'm going through it as well.
So did you go through any, like, did you face any comorbidities during the journey?
Did I what?
Did you face any comorbidities during the journey?
I did. Let's see. I think the hardest thing that I had to do was learning how to walk again, right? So that was really hard. And then knowing that the individual that I had been, so being in the hospital, you're fighting for this life, right? You're fighting for this life. But I had to realize that this life that I was fighting for was gone, that I was no more or no longer this, the old
Yes.
Brandi Benson. I was now this new individual. So having to accept that I was going to have a new life, that life was no longer going to be the same, that what I used to be great at or what my fears used to be, all that was gone. So I had this totally clean slate to start over. And that was really hard to accept. So for years, I was just in denial about what was going on and to different things I was experiencing and my healing process and all of that. It took a long time. So also with like body positivity, right? Being okay with looking different, being okay with having this massive 27-inch scar on my leg, being okay with having a very thin leg, small leg, and a very regular, healthy looking leg, you know, just being looking different. I wasn't used to this. So those were some really big complications that I had to kind of go through, grow through, and experience. Sorry about that. And experience. So I have two more minutes.
Yeah, so did you go for any alternative treatments?
Did I do any what?
Did you go for any alternative treatments?
Yeah, I did actually. So I don't suggest any of this because I'm not a doctor, right? But what I did was I did a lot of juicing, lots of juicing. I went to the pool, I sat outside in the sun. I got lots of vitamin D. I went and got massages. My mother treated me as if I was normal, like everything was fine. We went to the movies, you know, I got my nails done. I actually went out and bought a car. So I had different things that, like, if I had my treatment, I did it that day, but I wasn't always dwelling on, I have cancer, I have cancer, I have cancer. It was always going into the next day as if I didn't have anything, like nothing was wrong with me. So those were the different modalities that I used to kind of get through my treatments and, you know, be excited for the next day.
So, as you said, that cancer happened, very unexpectedly, and you were way too young also. So, things would be very mentally challenging as well. So, how did you manage your emotional and mental well during that time?
Oh man. I was in denial for a long time. So when I first got diagnosed, I was very depressed, very depressed. I was on antidepressants because I just couldn't cope with what was happening with me. But it was a lot of medication at first. And then I finally was like, okay, I got the hang of this. You know, this is not going to be something I feel like I'm going to perish from. So once I figured out that I could do this and I believed in my mom and things were, you know, seemed a little happier, my mind frame shifted a bit. Things changed like for the better, but it didn't happen until at least like 6 months. Like it took some time. And then even after that, after treatment is over, cancer is done, now you are in this sense of survivorship and you're constantly thinking, when's it going to come back? If it's going to come back, where's it going to be if it does come back? And you know, it's just this horrible, gloomy cloud just lingering over the head of you. And you don't know what's going to be happening, but it's just really important to have a psychiatrist, some mental health therapy as well to help you know, stay on the right track and try to be positive. And then just doing things yourself that can help you. So eating right, getting lots of rest and sleep, taking organic, you know, good healthy vitamins, drinking really clean water, being happy, doing things that you love that bring you joy. So it's a lot of things, but yeah.
Okay, so what were the lifestyle changes that happened during the cancer treatment and after the cancer treatment that you're still following?
The lifestyle things that I've changed quite a bit of things. I used to eat a lot of dairy. I ate a lot of sugars. I ate a lot of fried foods. I ate a lot of meat, like pork, fish, you know, turkey, steak, all of that. I don't eat any more meat at all. I've switched over to like a pescatarian diet, but that's even very small amounts of fish. I'm not a big fish person, but I do feel like sometimes I need some protein, so I'll do that. I changed my view on life. I changed my the people I was hanging around with. I changed the music I was listening to. Instead of listening to music, I switched over to like healthier podcasts that would teach me things or motivational things. I changed everything in life. So my diet, the people I hang around with, the things that I'm listening to, and then my thoughts. So it's really important to be able to control your thoughts. So I make sure that I am always grateful in a sense of gratitude all the time, but definitely made big changes. And those are the things that I've incorporated into my life, you know, thus far.
Okay, so how did you manage your financial resources during that time? Because cancer treatment itself is a long-term thing.
Yes. So because I was in the military, all of my cancer treatment was paid for. So I didn't have to come out of pocket for anything. So I can't imagine having to go through a life-threatening disease that's terminal for most. And then on top of that, have the burden of financial issues and hardship and trying to find insurances that will cover you and money for different treatments. So I didn't have to go through any of that, thank goodness, but I do feel like it's just terrible, you know? So once you treatment's over and it's done and you're finished with everything, then you have to still pay payments on the treatments from the past. It's just horrible. You know, it's really hard. It's another stressor in life, and stress is also something that, you know, breaks our immune system and allows certain things like cancer to get into the body.
Okay. So as you mentioned that, you know, cancer gave you a new birth and you explored yourself a lot, which was, you never even had a gist about. So what were your three top learnings from cancer that you got?
Three top learnings that I learned from cancer: not to give up on yourself ever, because there's miracles every single day. I learned that it's really important to have your family or support system around you when you're going through a really hard time in life, such as cancer or anything, you know, a divorce, you know, an addiction or something, to have a strong support system. And then the third is that cancer or things that kind of rock us to the core gives us an opportunity to reinvent ourselves, and that we should probably change the narrative to something more positive. Like, yes, maybe this person used to be an alcoholic, but now you have this new opportunity to be something completely different and new and better and changed and refined. So I just think that we can also change the narrative with cancer, not looking at it from a horrible standpoint, that survivorship after cancer can be something amazing and great, and you can birth it to be whatever you want it to be.
So as so many people, like, you know, the cancer patients and caregivers, they'll be listening to your journey and getting inspired. So what is that one message that you want to give to the cancer patients and caregivers?
I want them to believe in themselves. I want them to know that everybody's bodies, everyone is different. We all don't respond to things the same, which is, you know, sometimes a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing, but just to keep pushing. If you want to live and you want to be a survivor, or you are a survivor and you're worried about stuff, make sure that your predominant thoughts are on things that you want to experience. So if you want health and you want wealth and you want love and whatever it is, that's what you should be thinking about and seeking and looking for. And to give up on yourself. Just because the doctor said I had a year left to live, that was 13 years ago, and I'm still here today because I believed in myself.
That's wonderful. So just to sum up this very courageous and inspirational journey of yours in one sentence, what would it be?
Resiliency.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you so much for joining for today's Our Cancer Healing Journey Talk. It was really inspiring listening to you, and thank you for sharing each and every, you know, part of your journey. And we are really glad to have you. Take care. All the best for all your future endeavors. Bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, same. Thank you.